All right, now we're looking at verses 5 to 25, 1 Kings 11. This one we've titled, Even So, Then as this present, at this present time, also there is a remnant, according to the election of grace. And that, of course, is speaking of the body of Christ, the remnant. We'll read through verses 5 to 25 in chapter 11 here, 1 Kings 11. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. These wonderful city names. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you, and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I've chosen. That's, of course, why we've called this study, what we've called it, and versus the title, because this is all talking about the remnant. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace, which is what we're reading about here. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad, the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom, for 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he had cut off every male in Edom. Then Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tapenes, the queen. And the sister of Tapenes bare him Genubath, his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go to mine own country. Then Pharaoh said unto him, but what have you, what hast thou lacked with me, that behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country? And he answered, nothing, howbeit, let me go in any wise. And God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. One of the exceeding great and precious promises that have been given to God's elect to understand first is the promise found in Ephesians 3:8, which states, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. In this book of Kings, we continue to learn of the process of judgment that is upon God's people, the Israel of God, who are a type of God's elect. that are experiencing a judgment which will ultimately lead to both the northern and southern parts of the nation of Israel being divided and then taken into captivity. That separation of Judah, representing the head, Christ, and Israel, typifying the body of Christ, is the two parts, the twain, that must be made one through the blood of Christ. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All that is made through Christ, and it's made through us with Christ in us. Christ is the end of the law and the beginning of that new spiritual law, which is to bear each other's burdens, the law of Christ, which is bearing each other's burdens. It's all about washing each other's feet. It always comes back to service that is accomplished through Christ that makes us one body, that service, that Spirit of God that God gives us. In our last study, we saw how Solomon's heart was drawn away by the daughter of Pharaoh, woman of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, typifying our going into Babylon, which we all must do before we are called out of her, my people. God causes us to err from his ways as Solomon did, and then drags us into captivity and in time delivers us from ourselves. There is a very large overview of that process of overcoming that our Father has given us in the pages of the books of Kings and throughout his word that starts with our hearts being hardened from his fear. But then for a very few in this age, for thy servant's sake, the tribes of thine own inheritance, a few return and are saved as a very small remnant whose hearts are being worked with. Wherefore, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. O Lord, why have you made us to err from your ways and harden our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake, the tribes of thine inheritance. So it's a very interesting verse. God is working with you, then fear is introduced into your life. But when fear is not there, that's what separates us from God. When we lean onto our own understanding, when we don't have that reverence toward God to say, Lord, teach me your ways, grant me the faith, everything that we know is required to die daily. We are beseeching God for that faith and saying, help me in my unbelief every day. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed thereupon in the houses of Ashkelon. Shall they lie down in the evening, for the Lord their God shall visit them and turn away their captivity. So God will do it. If he's called us to turn away that captivity, he will, and he will do it through Christ. Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. It sounds exactly like what Christ said, but in the opposite to the disciples. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And of course, this is what we see happen to Judah and to Israel, but it's what happens to us. It's all written for our sakes, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and that represents the elect, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The Holy Seed, Christ in us, our hope of glory, which makes it possible for us to return, to have that fear, to be reconciled through that relationship that we have with Christ. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. It is through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ that grace and peace can be multiplied unto us. And so we read, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, which is exactly what Galatians 2:20 is saying there. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So our peace comes with knowing that Christ has all power over heaven and earth. All power has been given unto him within our heavens and within our earth. And so we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every circumstance of our life is in God's hands. If Christ is our head, he's directing the body of Christ. He's placed each one of these members in the body as it pleases the Father. All of it is working to the glory of God. The precious faith of Christ that we have obtained is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, which is the encouraging word that is given to us, found in the same context in this statement, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These promises are realized through the faith of Christ, which God gives to a small remnant. A grace found in the Lord's words given to us, even in our studies that cover this 11th chapter alone about King David, who typifies Christ in us as our hope of glory, a sound pattern found throughout the book of Kings and throughout God's word. So that's what we've done here. I've extracted these sections of this particular section of Kings just to show that point, that this is pointing to the elect, pointing to that remnant that we are. 1 Kings 11, verses 10 to 12, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that we should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done unto thee, ye have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee. That's our old man. It's being rent from him. And will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of thy hand, out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, 1 Kings 11:13, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. That's the Jerusalem that God has chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen. But he shall have one tribe for, in 1 Kings 11:32, he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake and the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Albeit I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. That's 1 Kings 11:34 and 11:38. And it shall be, if you will hearken unto all that I command you, I will walk in my ways and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David, my servant, did, that I will be with you and build you a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto you. These things being commanded of Solomon by the Lord, that he should not go after other gods, are written for God's elect's sake, to admonish us to fight a good fight of faith as we remain unspotted from the world and visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction in this life. God has determined from the foundation of the world who it is that will endure unto the end. And it is those who have the life of Christ within them, represented by King David, that God will build a sure spiritual house. Solomon's house was truly built upon sand for our sakes, and it took time for that to become manifest. In that sense, come to think of it, you know, David, God declares the end from the beginning. So David was really a type of the elect, and Solomon was really a type of our flesh, especially in regard to this issue with the temple here. So when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. It was only after those events of rain and floods and wind that Solomon's kingdom began to crumble. Many historical events had to unfold to make this manifest for our sakes. All of that was for our sakes, including the civil unrest of the nation of Israel, the mounds of idolatrous behavior, and evil kings that possessed Jerusalem's gates, leading ultimately to the captivity of both kingdoms in their appointed time. The Book of Kings is not just a history lesson. It is an expose of what happens to each of us as the man of sin is destroyed by the brightness of Christ's coming. And there is a great falling away represented by the dividing of the head and body, Israel and Judah, two parts that can only become one again by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that north and south, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. For he, Christ Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Solomon and both the northern and southern kingdoms must fall from grace and be taken into captivity. But as we have said over and over, all such activity does not declare the end of all things, only the beginning of what God will ultimately do for his elect, and eventually in time for the rest of his creation. Simon, 2 Peter 1, verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the context of that, Galatians 6, is pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, knowing that God has invested everything for us to make that possible. If by the death of Christ we were reconciled, how much more will we not be saved by his life within us? That's what we're doing. We're coming together to free each other in our heavens, in our minds, to remind us that we're more than conquerors through Christ. And this is the rule. This is the rule. Fight a good fight of faith. God is not going to leave us on the battleground without strength. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a lifetime of affliction and persecution, tribulation, all the things that we know. But absolutely, it will be a witness to the world of the strength of Christ. So we're called a very peculiar people for that reason. We're losing our life, but we're gaining the life of Christ, and we're witnessing to the world the strength of Christ. A Song of Decrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. And so many people do. We all did until we were dragged to Christ, and he started to build the house. He started to show us who we are and started to tear down the old and build the new. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So we're going to look at the first few verses here. So Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, went not fully after the Lord as David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So we know that we look at that and think, that guy, wow, that's us. God is just showing us the natural course that unfolds in our life without Christ, and that he allows to happen to the body of Christ so that we can be brought back and come to give an accounting for what it is that we naturally do without Christ. God had commanded Solomon that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Yet Solomon's words and works would be focused on going after Asheroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And here's what these places mean. Most importantly, I guess here, just Phoenician, to make self wax rich. It's essential and earthly when you look at it, right? And there's a lot of paganism connected to it. There's a lot more we could have written there, but that's just the point. The Zidonians, in the sense of catching fish, chasing, hunting, sore, taking provision, Milcom. What do we see here? To ascend the throne. So that's the spirit of pride reigning, ruling in the negative, right? It's a man of perdition sitting on the throne of our hearts. The Ammonites, the inbred, we talked about that, the overshadowing, dim hide, all words telling us the nature of that relationship that Solomon had, which was a very dark relationship. It had nothing to do with a right relationship with Christ. It had to do with his flesh. It was all sensual. It was all connected to the earth, and it wasn't glorifying God a bit. Solomon could not go fully after the Lord, as did David, his father. And as a result of that lukewarm spirit that God called evil in the sight of the Lord, the kingdom of Israel was rent and spewed out of God's mouth, showing us that when the head is sick, the body suffers the consequences of that sickness that God caused in Solomon's life, whose heart was in his hand. And that's a really important point. The heart of the king is in God's hands. These things were ordained and written in Solomon's book. And it's so easy for us to forget that when we read any story and look at any life in the Bible or any person that we meet day to day, God is reminding us through these stories. You're looking at an ordained circumstance for your sake, to remind you where God had us and how blessed we are to be freed and to be growing and overcoming through Christ. Isaiah 1:5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. And that's a rhetorical question, because we know we have to go through so much in order to come to that place where we're broken down and we realize our need for Christ. And we just put ourselves in the lowest seat when we go through severe trials, like the prodigal son. That's taking the lower seat. He says, just make me a servant. Just let me be amongst the body of Christ. Let me be there. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he wills, for good or for evil. And that's a lesson for us. That's, nobody sees that in the world. They don't see that king, King Solomon's heart was in God's hands for our sake, to teach us that he is a sovereign God. Solomon's spirit was idolatrous, and the building of a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon, was an outward expression of that inward idolatrous heart. Chemosh means to subdue, and that is exactly what was happening to Solomon as he was subdued and seduced by these pagan women and the gods and idols that they served and worshiped, to the point that he was fully embracing these practices and being instructed by their pagan practices. In Romans 6:16, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And that obedience is something we learn. We learn obedience by the things that we suffer, as Christ did. And so we thank God for that, that he does chasten and scourge us, and we learn righteousness through that chastening. This was the case for all of Solomon's strange wives. He was Shemash, subdued, or Molech, taking counsel and consulting with each one of them. And these abominable acts were happening before God in Jerusalem to remind us that it is God's people who are the first to come to see the depths of the idolatry that resides within us. Abomination here is, it's disgusting, it's filthy, detestable. We get the idea. And it's polluted, as God calls it, and he loathes it. He loathed this relationship that Solomon had, and he allowed it for our sakes to show us how much this will bring heartache. And of course, it has to happen. And then when we start to be dragged to the Lord, then something new happens. But that all is washed away, and God starts to build the new temple. God commanded Solomon something that he was not given to do, and yet the Lord was angry with him. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel. Isaiah 63:17, we wear it out, but it's so true. O Lord, why have you made us to err from your ways and harden our heart from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. God witnesses to us that we are beasts, and his appearing unto Solomon twice is a witness to us that regardless of God's visitation in our life, without the mind of Christ, we will not learn or even recognize our idolatrous ways unless the Lord corrects us. And that's the blessing, of course, what we read in Romans 9 is saying that very same thing. Coming unto Solomon twice establishes this truth that the heart of man is blind and not able to see the day of his visitation. Solomon's kingdom, although it had peace for the most part, was eventually shown to be more of a peace when there really was no peace, kingdom that was not going to stand. And shall lay thee even with the ground, Luke 19:44, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because you know not the time of thy visitation. It wasn't given, but that's what happens at that time in our walk. Genesis 41:32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Whether that's, you know, the chastening of the nation or the deliverance of the nation, God will witness to what he's going to do, and he won't let us, he'll keep the elect in the loop. He will prepare our hearts for those events that are going to come upon the earth. Romans 9:18-23, therefore have thee mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. They will say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Why do you cause us to err? In other words, but nay, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall a thing form say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And of course, we all have our time of being that vessel of dishonor. And if God is making us anew, he's breaking that old vessel and he's making it anew. There's a brand new creation. All things are new in Christ. That old pottery is gone. And the new man is being formed, if he is being formed by God's grace in this age. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath had afore prepared unto glory. Notice that it takes a long time. The work that God did in the lives of those who were sacrificed for us, the kings and the prophets who desired to see the things that we know, that was a long process that God is going to show the world. This took a long time to set the stage for the bride of Christ. But that's just how important it is that the world sees what God has done for them and for us and for everyone. It's to show mercy to all the world, but it has to be done through this long, drawn-out process. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In Luke 10, 24, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Your eyes have been given and yours have been opened. Wherefore, there. 1 Kings 11, verses 11 to 13, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and you have not kept my covenant, my statute, which I commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Albeit I will not rend away all the kingdoms, but will give one tribe to thy son for David thy, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. This is the first section of our study where our title in Romans 11:5 becomes the very clear, typical message that is being given to the body of Christ today. God's purpose of election is going to stand regardless of Solomon's idolatrous ways. Our time in Babylon, which is represented by this self-serving idolatry of Solomon, does not go unpunished by God. And in time, God will rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Meaning, if we are his children that he is working with in this age, we will be chastened and scourged to see Solomon and his kingdom decrease in us and the kingdom of God increase in us. Albeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, thy servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. The kingdom is then given to thy servant, who we know represents Christ in us, who is the servant, typified by David, who is working in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. God rends away the kingdoms of the world from within us, but not all of them. I will not rend away all the kingdom, and that one kingdom that is reserved represents the elect, who will rule over the kingdoms of this world. And as God's remnant are typified, and as God's remnant are typified by this statement, for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Romans 11:5, even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant, according to the election of grace. John 13:14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Of course, Christ is our servant, but Christ in us is our servant. We serve each other, and that's fulfilling the law of Christ, bearing each other's burdens. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There'll always be someone to serve. There'll always be some opportunity God can make for us. And that's what he blesses us with. And that's why we can't grumble. We could, but the Lord will burn that out of us and show us he set the stage to be servants. And that's where we're empowered. We're not empowered by selfishness. We're empowered by saying, Lord, make me a servant. Show me where I'm needed. And we do need strength. We need to be supernaturally strengthened to be Christ in this world, because we know the world is against that spirit. For it is God which works in you, and this is how it's all possible, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. And of course, that will be accomplished through Christ. 1 Kings 11, 14 to 16, and the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. For it came to pass when David was in Edom, and Joab the captain of the host was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel until he had cut off every male in Edom. So twice we are told that every male was cut off in Edom, a witness of the destruction of the sinful nature that is accomplished through God's Holy Spirit in our lives. Like I said, we couldn't do it. We would murder with everyone else. I remember, and that's just, the Lord is merciful to put us in remembrance of, you remember when you did that? And then you say, wow, God has delivered me from so many things. And that's what he's working with us. He's making us that bride without spot. It was one of David's mighty men, Joab, who was the captain of the host, who was gone up to bury the slain after he had smitten every male in Edom, to further confirm that these actions of Joab symbolically represent the destruction of the man of sin within us. We're given the length of time, which is the number of mankind. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, the time it took until he had cut off every male in Edom. This adversary of Solomon's, Hadad, was not one of these males in Edom, but rather he was of the king's seed in Edom. And as we will read, he was being reserved of God until the time that Israel would be attacked. Joab's initial victory over Edom is like the parable of the unclean spirit that has gone out of a man. And then after David and Joab die, this king's son, Hadad, who was yet a little child, is now all grown up and bringing many armies up against Solomon. This patient pattern of the devil is by God's design and reminds us that sin is persistent and that there are stages to overcoming the beast within us that starts with a wounded beast, but that wound does get healed as described in this parable. And of course, that's in Revelation too, where the wound is healed. Pardon me. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. So they took men with them out of Paran. This is what Hadad was doing. And they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Only Christ can bind the strong man of Mark 3:27 and give God's elect the ability to see and confess that we are this wicked generation who can now declare that we are more than conquerors through Christ who judges us and brings us to acknowledge our need for deliverance through him. As we acknowledge, we are guilty of all the blood of all the prophets. Mark 3:27, no man can enter into a strong man's house. That's just like saying, when John wept, who can open up the seals? It's saying the same thing. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And that's telling us, of course, that Christ is higher than all those powers and principalities that initially have us held in bondage until God delivers us through Christ. Luke 11:51, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation, of every generation, but for the elect's sake, now these things are written. We're blessed to give this accounting and say, Lord, we are guilty of all. We're truly guilty of all. Matthew 23:30, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. That's our old man. We want to drink the golden cup like we talk about. We want to appear to be the good guy. And that's the problem with flesh. But God says, and Christ said of himself, there's none good. There's none righteous. There's only one good, and that's the Father. And he's showing us that. That's the miracle of our calling, to see, wow, there's one event unto all men. But how blessed are we to know that God loves us regardless of this state that we're in that won't inherit the kingdom. He has this new creation that's being formed. And it all hinges on him bringing us to this point where we can truly see that we are that generation, as opposed to saying, hey, if I had been there, I wouldn't have done those things. I'm a good guy. 1 Kings 11:17-22. But Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants, with him to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they rose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. And the sister of Tahpenes, however that's pronounced, bare him Genubath, his son, whom Tahpenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country." Then Pharaoh said unto him, "But what have you lacked with me, that, behold, you seek to go to thine own country?" And he answered, "Nothing, albeit let me go in anyways." Just as we are being nourished and built up in the Lord, the adversaries that God uses in our lives are also being built up and strengthened to do battle against us in a very prescribed manner that will bring about the exact skin-for-skin measures that God has ordained for these evil spirits, ordained that these evil spirits will accomplish to his glory. This is what this section of scripture is all about. Hadad represents that evil spirit that was found, that had found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, who was a type of Satan. And Hadad, as a result of this great favor, was given to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. What happens next is the sister of Tahpenes bears him Genubath, his son, whom Tahpenes weaned in Pharaoh's house, and Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. A birth representing the false doctrine and lying spirit, which is what false doctrines are, of the devil, that are going to come up against us as God's elect. That's what Satan is commissioned to do, to always challenge that singleness, that simplicity, that singleness of mind that we have and that we guard and we protect against as the body of Christ. We're not to fear any of these things, because God is the one who is letting them manifest for our sakes, for our growth and maturing in him, as we're given power to overcome the wicked one through Christ. Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." So that's why he says, you know, when they take you into the court, if that day comes, and it will, because the court is just coming before someone who is against you, and they're a tabernacle too. God says, give no thought to what you will say in that day, because this is the work of God, to glorify God in that day. "This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Well, that's all of us. We all know it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom, and that 10 days just represents our time in the flesh, which I'm sure we all know. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." If we lose our life and we are mortifying the deeds of the flesh, God will give us that crown of life, and he'll make a way for us where there seems to be none in the flesh. The flesh will never give you the answers, but the Lord will always provide for us the solution. He'll make a way where there seems to be none. "Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Notice when Hadad decides to make his move to come up to Jerusalem, it is when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to mine own country." Pharaoh, who represents Satan in this instance, asks of Haran this question. And Pharaoh said unto him, "But what have you lacked with me, that, behold, you seek to go to thine own country?" And he answered, "Nothing, albeit let me go in any wise." It's true, he did lack nothing in Egypt, just like the Israelites felt, you know, we've got everything here. They didn't feel like they needed to be uprooted. It's true, he did lack nothing in Egypt, and so he answered nothing, but regardless, was compelled of God to be sent to do this work, howbeit let me go in any wise. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So God is in control of all of these spirits, and all the situations are working according to the counsel of God's will. Verses 23 to 25, and God stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. And he gathered men unto him and became captain over a band, which David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. God is the one who stirred up Haran. And God is the one who stirred him up another adversary, Rezin, the son of Elida, which fled from his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. Both parties are leaving their lords, as it were, to go to be with that power and principality that is going to be used to come up against the world within us, represented by Israel. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Satan knows the principle of a threefold cord, and God causes Rezin to gather men unto him and became captain over a band when David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. It is these men and their parties that represent what we must overcome day by day as the body of Christ, where we are more than conquerors who are strengthened through our daily trials and persecutions that are brought about by an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. So it's so important. Like, God wrote this to show us that he orchestrates our trials. He orchestrates these powers and principalities for our good, for our strengthening. And I know we know that, but if we are blessed to remember that, then we know, you know what, this trial is going to really make me stronger. It's hard when you're going through it. It's hard to gain that perspective, and God knows that as well. So we need to help each other and come together often, because we're not an island. We're not fighting these battles alone. We're bearing each other's burdens. And that's, of course, why we come together often, and even more. So as you see the day approaching, we need that strength. We need that reassurance that you are Christ. You are Jesus Christ. I'm Jesus Christ. I have something to offer you. You have something to offer me. And that's what makes it possible for us to become more than conquerors through Christ, through the Christ in each other. Hadad means mighty. Edom means the twin brother of Jacob. And of course, it's connected to the flesh, right? It's red. Rezin is prince, a primitive root. It says to be heavy, probably to be heavy. The king's ruler. Rezin means ruler. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's good. Elida, God knows. Hadadezer is Hadad is help. Zobah, from an unused root, meaning to station or station. Now, this is interesting. I didn't even know this existed, but this is the proper name Bible using Young Literal Translation. That's with Hitchcock's dictionary substitutions, as if it's a pretty, that's what it is. But we added the words. And I've seen Aaron do this in gospel studies, and I really enjoy that. And Dennis has done it too, where you read it. Now, here it is. But these words were added, just so you know, the ones that are in parentheses. And helper, Hadad, had heard in bondage, Egypt, that beloved, David, had slept with his fathers, and that fathered by I was, I am, I will be, amazing, Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, and helper said to destroyer, send me away and I will go to my land. And destroyer said to him, but what are you lacking with me that, lo, you are seeking to go to your land? And he said, nothing. However, you shall certainly send me away. And God raised up an adversary to him, growing lean, resin, the son of God knows, Elida, who fled from his lord, noisy helper, Hadadezer, the king of standing, Zobah, standing by his own strength. And he gathered men to himself and was head of a troop when Beloved killed them. And they went to Sack of Blood, that's Damascus, and lived in it and reigned in Sack of Blood. And he was an adversary to he will rule with God, Israel, all the days of great peace, Solomon, besides the evil that helper Hadad did. And he despised, he will rule with God, Israel, and reigned over highlands, which is Syria. So there's a study right there in that little section, but amazing how God uses words to tell a story. I may do that more often. It's interesting to peel it back and just to see what is there for us. And I'm sure there's a lot more that I missed there. One of the principal points we can learn from all these enemies that came up against Solomon is that our calling is one that is according to the election of grace, like our title in Romans 11. And that grace or favor is expressed through God sending us the daily trials, those wars in our heavens that we wrestle against all the time. Sometimes we have peace. God gives us those couch moments in the temple. You know, there was those areas where you could sit and rest. But the right mindset is you're in a battle here. And keep that mindset because God is the one who's going to give us the victory through Christ. He's also merciful, so there will be respite. When you're resting, use your rest wisely. Teach us, Lord, to apply our hearts into wisdom and number our days, because we're in a battle here, and he knows it. They may appear to be unfolding in a very physical way right before our eyes sometimes, but we are assured through these stories and God's word that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, that we are told that Christ in us is far above, and therefore rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice, for the Lord is at hand, and we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And that's our study. I hope you were blessed by that.